Vidagna Madhava, Act 5, Decorating Radha. Purnamasi enters. Purnamasi speaks. The fire of grief constantly plays on the call of love. That is not an untruth. Because I am affectionate to Radhika, now I am also burning in the fire of grief. Looking ahead, she says, who is this girl coming to me with Madhav Mangal? Looking again, why is Vrinda, who knows the languages of all living entities, and whose order is never disobeyed by any of the moving or non-moving creatures in her forest of Vrindavan, coming here? Vrinda and Madhav Mangal enter. Vrinda and Madhav Mangal speak. O mother, I offer my respects to you. Purnamasi says, auspiciousness to you both. Vrinda says, O noble lady, why are you so unhappy? Purnamasi says, my child, when Abhimanyu saw on Srimati Radhika's body the marks from the touch of the most expert lover Krishna, he became very angry, and now he wants to take his family and live in Mathura city. Also, when Abhimanyu's anger flares up, then his mother becomes like a host of monsoon clouds to torment the swan of Radha. For these reasons, I lament. Vrinda says, the moonlight of Purnamasi's good wishes will remove the darkness of obstacles. Madhav Mangal says, noble lady, why do you love Radha so dearly? Purnamasi says, child, there are many reasons that I love Radha. I love her dearly. Vrinda says, you have spoken well. In this variegated world, somewhere someone loves another with unmotivated and unwavering love. The Kanjana birds love the star Agastya in this way. When Agastya rises in the sky, the Kanjana birds celebrate with great happiness. And when Agastya sets in the west at the time of the monsoon, the Kanjana birds at once disappear, for they cannot bear to be separated from their love. Purnamasi says, when one hears praise from his beloved, he outwardly remains neutral but feels pain within his heart. When he hears his beloved making accusations about him, he takes them to be jokes and enjoys pleasure. When he finds faults in his beloved, they do not diminish his love, nor do the beloved's good qualities increase his spontaneous affection. Thus, spontaneous love continues under all circumstances. That is how spontaneous love of Godhead acts within the heart. Madhav Mangal says, this is the nature of love for Radha and Madhava. Purnamasi says, child, what more need be said? The flood of the nectar of love that Radha and Krishna bear for each other is a supreme example of the naturally sweet chains of love that bind beautiful, expert, amorous couples. Vrinda says, O noble lady, listen. Krishna does not wish to hold the staff in his hand. He has no desire to touch his buffalo horn bugle. He will not decorate his body with mineral pigments. He no longer plays his leaf flute. His great playfulness is gone and his mind is reeling. Krishna now stays by the shore of the Yamuna. He is very depressed. Purnamasi, unhappy, says, why is Krishna so depressed? Madhav Mangal answers, it is because of the crookedness of Lalita. Purnamasi says, has Lalita not created this violent, jealous anger in Radha? Vrinda says, how is that? Purnamasi says, I do not know. Where are Lalita and her friends now? Vrinda says, I sent Subal to find them. Subal enters and Subal says, O noble lady, I offer my respects to you. Purnamasi asks, Subal, where did you find Radha and the other gopis? Subal answers, they are under a mango tree near Mukura's house. Purnamasi says, child Madhav Mangal, I shall quickly go to Radhika and convince her to meet with Krishna. You please cheer Krishna up with the moonlight of this good news. Madhav Mangal happily exits. Vrinda says, coming near, Subal, I have written a message in verse. Can you carry it to Vishakha? Subal asks, what is the message? Purnamasi says, Vrinda, I shall pacify Radha, decorate her nicely, and bring her to meet Krishna. Then we shall both wait in the grove of Kadamba trees. Accompanied by Subal, Vrinda exits. Purnamasi, walking, asks, Is this Lalita coming here? Lalita says, Oh, noble lady, I was just going to meet with you. Purnamasi says, Why? Lalita says, Oh, noble lady, although this villain Krishna again and again insults my dear friend Radha, she does not take offense. Indeed, she longs to be with him. What shall I do? Purnamasi says, Child, give up these useless rebukes. Madhava has not committed any offense. It is Madhu Mangal's offense that has made you unhappy. Lalita to herself says, Nandimukhi told me the same thing. And then openly she says, O noble lady, look, there is Radha under a mango tree. She is trembling as she speaks some words. Filled with regret, Radha enters. Radha says, No sweet words enter my ear. I immediately threw the jasmine garland far away. I was angry with the gopi friend who spoke words for my benefit. I do not see him placing his peacock feather crown on the ground and begging with many prayers. Ignited by a kandira cinder, my heart continually burns. Purnamasi says, Daughter, let us approach, hide nearby, and eavesdrop and hear her description of the pastimes of love. The two of them do that. Radha Restless says, The doe-eyed girls who enjoy pastimes with youthful Krishna are very fortunate. She becomes frightened. Lalita will see how I have become unsteady and independent, and she will rebuke me. Then she yearns. My heart yearns to embrace moon-faced Govinda. Angrily, she says, To hell with the wicked fate that has created this poison named jealous anger. Lalita says, Fool, stop. You rejected Krishna on your own account. Now you criticize me for being a wanton girl? Radha notices a bee and says, Even though it is an insect, this humble bee still bows down to the land of Vrindavan. On its head, it bears the message of peacock feather crowned Krishna. Desiring to bring me to Krishna, this bee repeatedly tries to pacify me by speaking sweet words, just like that scoundrel Krishna. Purnamasi, with a playful smile, says, Filled with jealous anger, she now thinks that all the creatures in Vrindavan forest are messengers from Krishna. Radhika, overwhelmed with love and filled with wonder, says, How is it that Krishna has now come to violently embrace me? Purnamasi says, This is the symptom of deep love. Radha thinks that Madhava has now appeared before her. Radharani makes an angry moan and turns around. O artist of deceit! O crooked pet deer who stays always on the breast of Chandravali, be gone! I hate you! She throws down the lotus flower from her ear. She says, O Kadamba trees on the shore of the Yamuna, you are my witnesses. I am a weak woman, and this Krishna, the villain of Gokula, is now violently torturing me. Purnamasi says, Lalita, Radhika is overwhelmed with longings. Bring her to Krishna at once. Lalita, walking, says to Radha, Radha, what are you saying to yourself? Radha sees Lalita and says to herself, How am I alone? She does not see Krishna. Eagerly, she says, O Lalita, how has amorous Krishna learned the science of entering someone else's body? He has entered my heart and extinguished the fire of jealous anger burning there. Vishakha enters and says, I got this letter from the hand of Subal. Lalita takes the letter and reads aloud. Even though the black bee has not committed any offense, the Madhavi creeper still tosses it aside with its moving, newly blossomed tendril. Then the buzzing bee will simply enjoy other pastimes buzzing with sweet words among the lotus flowers. Note, in this allegory, Krishna is the black bee, Radha is the Madhavi creeper, and Radha's gopi rivals are the lotus flowers. Radha, grieving in Sanskrit, says, O lotus-eyed girl, I fear that because I am a playground for a host of faults, expert and intelligent Krishna is now averse to me. Stung by thorns, blinded by pollen, and not finding any nectar, why should a young bumblebee not turn from a Ketaki flower? Purnamasi says, The moon can never be separated from moonlight. Vishakha says, Please calm down. I thought you would be very anxious, so I sent Nandimukhi to discover what Krishna is doing now. Nandimukhi enters and says, By nature you are gentle. Why are you so hard on this poor Madhava Krishna? You are as hard as butter frozen into ice. Radha asks, is Madhava happy now? Nandimukhi answers, he will not joke with his friends for even a moment. He will not wear his crown of champaka flowers. Renouncing all sense gratification, Krishna has become like a yogi meditating on your moon-like face. In this way, he experiences great transcendental bliss. Radha embraces Vishakha and says, again and again, this Radha has quarreled with Krishna and offended him. Glorious Krishna is still willing to accept me back. O slender-waisted girl, what reason is there for his taking me back other than the delightful flower blossom of the great mercy of you, my friends? A voice from behind the scenes. Now the cuckoos may proudly coo. The young does may eat grass without any interruption, and the gopis may walk on the paths leading to their homes, for at this moment the villain flute does not play in the hand of Lord Krishna. Radharani reveals the flute and she says with scorn, my dear friend the flute, it appears that you have been born of a very good family, for you have residence in the hands of Sri Krishna. By birth you are simple and not at all crooked. Then why have you taken initiation into this dangerous mantra that enchants the assembled gopis? Vishakha says, when placed before the wind, this flute plays music by itself. Radharani says, friend, I shall test it. And she does that. Vishakha says, listen to the sweet sounds. Now Krishna's friends may also hear the flute. Vrinda enters and says in private, O noble lady, I have heard the flute should not be placed to the wind like this. Lalita has given you very bad advice. Purnamasi says, child, I shall remedy this in the future. Jatila enters. Jatila says, the flute was played. Is it not true that Krishna must be here? Looking, she sees, aha, the flute is in the hand of Maharaj Vishabhanu's daughter Radha. I shall stealthily approach and take it. Angry, she quickly approaches. Oh, immoral gopi, give up the flute. She then pulls the flute away. Lalita says, alas, a calamity. How is it that the old lady unexpectedly pulled away the flute? Jatila says, I will show it to the noble Purnamasi. If I were only to tell her, she would not believe me. Purnamasi says, O daughter Brinda, this is a great calamity. Look, Jatila is going in the direction of my cottage. Vrinda says, oh, noble lady, don't worry. In a moment, I'll rob her of this flute. And then she exits. Lalita, timorously following behind her, says, oh, noble lady, why have you become suspicious? We found this flute on the shore of the Yamuna. Jatila angrily says, oh, fickle girl, oh, speaker of lies, stop, stop. Subal enters and says, oh, noble Jatila, look. The monkey who steals yogurt is now entering your house. Jatila tilts her neck and looks. Subal, you speak the truth. That monkey is about to steal my stock of butter. She changes directions and runs off. Purnamasi speaks. Vrinda sent this old monkey named Kokati, did she not? Subal answers. Nandamukhi, look. Jatila became bewildered. She threw the flute at the monkey and hit her with it. Purnamasi happily says, fortunately, this monkey Kakati has taken the flute and now climbed a kadamba tree. Everyone becomes very, very happy. Jatila enters and says, alas, Subal, my child, the flute is no longer in my hand. I request you, bring me the flute. Subal says, Kakati is a good name for this monkey. Oh, noble lady, this monkey is afraid of only one person, your nephew Vishal. Vishal is now playing on top of Govardhan Hill, so you should go there and ask him to help. Jatila exits. Purnamasi says, by good fortune, this rascal Subal has now sent the old lady far away, and now, by knitting his eyebrows, he makes Lalita hasten here. Lalita glances from the corner of her eyes and says, Radha, come, let us search for the flute. Radhika to herself says, by good luck now I shall be able to meet with Lord Krishna. Thank you. Mukura hastily enters, and then she says, "O Vishaka, Abhimanyu said to me, 'Today the astrologers have instructed me to worship the form of the goddess Durga named Gomangala. Please take the articles of worship and bring Radha with you, and then meet me under the Chaitya tree.'" Radha, being very unhappy, says to herself, concealing her words from others' ears, "Alas, misfortune of misfortunes." And then she gazes at Lalita's face. Lalita says, "The name of Abhimanyu Angri fits him perfectly. Let us go and assemble the paraphernalia of worship." Everyone exits. Purnamasi approaches Subal and she says with great anxiety, "Child, this is a great calamity. Now you and Brinda should go to lotus-eyed Krishna and expertly console him, and I shall go to the elderly women and describe to them the diplomatic crookedness of Jatila." She then exits. Subal, walking, says, "There is Brinda standing under a tamal tree and holding a flute in her right hand." Brinda enters. Brinda says, "Subal, I have seen everything. What need is there of telling me what has happened?" Subal says, "Brinda, let us go at once. Let us bring the flute to Krishna." Subal says, "Brinda, there is Krishna gazing at the path. Madhumangal is increasing his desire to meet with Radha. I do not know what will be his response when he learns that our mission has failed." Brinda says, "Subal, you speak the truth. Look, there is Krishna standing under a punaga tree and anxiously waiting for Radha." Subal says, "Brinda, think of a solution." Brinda, thinking, says, "Subal, I know how we may cheer up Govinda for a moment. Come, to do this we must first disguise ourselves." They both exit. Followed by Madhumangal, Krishna enters. Krishna, filled with longing, says, "In front of me is Radha, behind me is Radha, to my left is Radha, to my right is Radha, on the earth is Radha, in the sky is Radha. How is it that the three worlds have suddenly become Radha?" Madhumangal says, "Soon the noble Purnamasi will bring Radhika here. Soon you will see Radhika." Krishna says, "Will smiling-eyed Radha, happy at heart, playfully holding Lalita's thumb in her hand as she eagerly walks to the rendezvous, and tinkling sound of her bracelets bearing the fragrance of conjugal desire, soon make me tremble with unparalleled wonder?" Madhumangal says, "Oh, don't despair. I hear the tinkling of ankle bells." A voice from behind the scene says, "Lalita, look. Here is a punaga tree. Look at the aggressive buzzing bees. Let us stop for a moment." Madhumangal restlessly says, "Oh, dear friend, do you not see? Radhika has come here with Lalita." Krishna, with feelings of longing, says, "How fortunate I am. My gopi friend now brings great happiness to my eyes." Madhumangal very proudly says, "Why should you not become happy? After all, I am the most expert of messengers." Krishna says, "My beloved Radha and Lalita no longer love me. Although they both stand before me, they remain at a distance and will not approach me." Madhumangal says, "My dear friend, you should know that Radha is definitely pleased with you. She holds your flute in the corner of her sari." Krishna, with great love, says, "Although the effulgence of the moon is brilliant initially at night, in the daytime it fades away. Similarly, although the lotus is beautiful during the daytime, at night it closes. But my friend, the face of my most dear Srimati Radharani is always bright and beautiful both day and night. Therefore, to what can her face be compared?" And he eagerly approaches. A voice from behind the scenes says, "The reddish splendor of the sun resting in the constellation Taurus now rises in the sky. O Chikora bird, who lives by drinking the moonlight of Chandravali, do not run so hastily to this rising sun. The goddess of fortune, who is the daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu and who dearly loves you, has now come to this place. O Chikora bird, who lives by drinking the moonlight of Chandravali, do not so hastily run to Vrishabhanu's daughter." Note, in this verse, the word Vrishabhanavi may mean the sun, Bhanu, who rests in the constellation Taurus, Vrisha, or it may also mean the daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu. Ragini may mean red with anger or filled with love. Madamango says, Lalita, you are mistaken. It is not the Chakora. It is the Chakravaka bird that yearns after the beauty of the sun shining in the sign Taurus. Note, the Chakora bird maintains itself by drinking moonlight, and therefore the Chakora yearns to see the moon and not the sun. The amorous Chakravaka birds separate at night and reunite in the morning when the sun rises. For this reason, the Chakravakas yearn to see the sun. Madumango rebukes Lalita for using the wrong bird in her metaphor. Another voice comes from behind the scenes. Oh, Krishna, listen. Madumango fearfully looks and says, coming on the right is Vishal's sister named Sarangi. Krishna says, friend, don't be afraid. It is only a younger girl. Sarangi enters. Sarangi says, oh, Krishna, please listen. Elderly Mukura speaks to you the following words. Why do you falsely defame my granddaughter? We have personally seen your flute in the hand of the monkey Kakati. Do not accuse Radha of stealing your flute. Krishna says, O Sarangi, please tell Mukura that I have found my flute. A voice from behind the scenes says, be clear. What do you mean? Sarangi looks in the direction of the voice, and then she angrily says, oh, Radha, my brother Abhimanyu called you to meet him under the chaitya tree. Why have you not gone there? A voice from behind the scenes says, oh, unfortunate Sarangi, oh, queen of the monkeys, you are a second Jatila. You should go fall in the jaws of some old tiger. Sarangi angrily says, Lalita, you have offended and insulted me. I shall go to your aunt Jatila and tell her what you have said. Madumango with contempt says, who can believe the words of a girl? A voice from behind the scenes says, friend Radha, let's go, let's go. Madumango says, listen, what does Lalita say now in Sanskrit? The voice from behind the scenes again says, this flute is a thief who steals the wealth of the respectability of the young girls. Why do you hide it in your lap? Throw it far away. Let us go to Krishna, the thief who stole the gopis' garments. They are both thieves. It is proper they should both be together. Krishna, smiling, says, friend, look. She pulled the flute from the edge of her sari and tossed it before us. Grab it. Madamangal does that. And a voice from far away, from behind the scenes, says, ah, Sarangi has not spoken a lie. Krishna anxiously says, friend, look. The cruel-hearted old lady is here. Madamangal says, cruel-mouthed Jatila appears like a black snake in the month of Shravana. She angrily moves her cane and roars very ferociously. A voice from behind the scenes says, O smoking cinder that has burned down the good reputation of your family, every day you cheat someone. What can be done to stop you? Madamangal says, alas, Radhika trembles like a plantain tree in the wind. A voice from behind the scenes says, O noble lady, please be kind. We do not feel offended. Madamangal says, look, taking Radha by the hand and accompanied by Lalita also, the old lady is walking away. Krishna very unhappily says, my friend, I do not know what cruel Jatila will do now. Please follow her and learn what happens. Madamangal exits. Krishna sighs and says, learning of my confidential pastimes with her, this fool Abhimanyu must have forced Radharani to stay at home, or else he may have taken her to Mathura, the capital of the Yadu dynasty. Madamangal says, oh dear friend, it is very wonderful. Radhika must know some secret science. Krishna says, what kind of secret science? Tell me. Madamangal says, loudly condemning her, Jatila went among the elderly gopis and placed Radhika before Purnamasi. Krishna asks, then? Madamangal says, then I saw what happened. In the midst of all the very affectionate elderly gopis, Jatila lifted the veil covering Radha's face, and then from under the veil came not Radhika, but laughing Subal. Krishna smiling says, then? Madamangal says, then when the uproarious laughter finally ended, all the gopis were very angry. They loudly rebuked Jatila. Jatila bowed her head in shame and fled from their midst. Krishna says, Tell me, what happened to the second girl? Madhumangal says, Radhika whispered a magical mantra in her ear, and the girl became transformed into Vrinda. Krishna said, Friend, this is not Radhika's knowledge of magical science. Knowing that Abhimanyu had called Radha away, Vrinda arranged these wonderful pastimes to amuse me. Madhumangal, with a loud laugh, said, Aha, you speak the truth. Vrinda and I have both seen Subal enter Mukura's house disguised as Radha. A voice from behind the scene says, Her form burning like a statue of Suryakanta jewels ablaze at midday, her cheeks as pale as white ducks, and her pain-filled eyes devoured by the fragrance of sleep. Slender Radha, tormented by separation from Lord Hari, brings great suffering to her friends. Note, the Suryakanta jewels burst into flame when placed before the midday sun. Krishna glances in that direction and says, O friend, this parrot brings me some comfort. Madhumangal says, Is it not that this parrot repeats the words spoken by Vrinda? Krishna says, Friend, I wish to see Vrinda and Subal in this way. Hurry! Madhumangal places the flute in Krishna's hand and then starts to walk. Krishna says, I have found my lost flute. Let me fill it with music. And he does that. Madhumangal, listening with attentive ears, says, The beautiful, sweet sound of the flute flows in all directions, becoming an earring ornamenting the ears of its listeners. I think that sweet sound is now causing the suddenly fearless Jataka birds of the gopis to quickly assemble at this place. Looking again, he says, Aha! This is the tinkling sound of bracelets. It is so much like the sound of the flute that I was tricked into thinking it was the flute. Radhika says, O flute, even though you drink the sweetest nectar, still you spit out a sound so poisonous it makes the entire world faint unconscious. The cruel, hard-hearted flute does not say anything to rebuke you. Still, you are not at fault. It is just your nature to be cruel and ruthless. Lalita says, Ah, here is Krishna under this punaga tree. Madhumangal looks ahead and becomes happy. Why should one search far and wide for something that falls into the hand of its own accord? Turning to Krishna, he says, Dear friend, look, Subal and Vrinda are approaching you. Krishna with love says, Oh, my friends, I am so happy to see you both. Walking, he says, Oh, crest jewel of all my friends, come here at once. Radharani conceals her smile and says, Lalita, your friend Krishna thinks I am Subal in disguise. Krishna says, Friend Madhumangal, look, it is certainly very wonderful that Radhika has come here with her friend. Lalita says, O Radhika, this punaga tree has certainly blossomed with happiness. Note, Lalita here refers to Krishna. Madhumangal angrily says, Vrinda, even now in our presence you repeat Radha, Radha. This is actually Subal. Speak the truth. Krishna says, Friend, don't talk in this way. The sound of the name Radha brings me great pleasure. I also like to speak the name Radha. Coming close to them, he says, Friend Radha, embrace me. For a moment, let me experience the bliss of touching my beloved. Lalita, emerging from behind Radha, says, O lover, go there and embrace your Subal. What is the use of trying to cheat you? Madhumangal angrily says, Vrinda, you are naturally arrogant and independent. That is why you try to thwart my amorous friend. Vrinda enters. Vrinda says, Friend Radha, this punaga tree yearns to touch the creepers of your arms. Fulfill its desire and make it blossom with happiness. Madhumangal, astonished, says, Friend, this is the magic power of Vrinda, and he gazes with wonder. O magician Vrinda, even a great cloud of smoke cannot confuse the supremely intelligent Krishna. Vrinda says, Noble sir, I think this is a dark cloud garlanded with lightning flashes. Note, Krishna is the cloud and Radha is the lightning. Krishna, gazing at wonder, says, Is it true that this is my beloved Radharani, who is like a garland of rangana flowers I wear around my neck? and whom I am very reluctant to abandon. Madhu Mangal says, O noble Vrinda, be merciful to me. Please don't bewilder me in this way. The real Radha is under the Chaitya tree. Krishna gazes at Radha and says, I wish to see Subal disguised as you, but now I see you, who are very difficult to attain, standing before me. I am like a merchant who goes in search of broken pieces of glass, but finds instead rare sapphire that is the abode of transcendental love. Lalita says, Because she wears the blue emblem of constant love for you, my unfortunate friend Radha burns with pain. O Krishna, you are not suffering because you wear the yellow emblem of fickleness and indifference, and you remain always happy. Krishna says, O Radha, your red lips are very beautiful. You are the best of all the beautiful eyebrowed gopis. Your words are wonderfully eloquent. You bring great happiness to the hearts of your friends. The sound of your name is always in everyone's ears. You are beautifully decorated with a necklace of pearls. O Radha, I yearn to embrace you. Why are you not friendly to me? Note, in this verse, Lord Krishna used words that, aside from their usual meaning, are also names of stars. Rohini, Jeshta, Chitra, Shravana, Tara, and Ashlesha are names of constellations. Vrinda says, O hard-hearted girl, why do you torture your own body with this violent, jealous anger? Why are you angry to hear the prayers of your very dear friend? Your lover stands before you in this forest grove. He is overwhelmed with love for you. For a moment, give him a merciful glance from the corner of your eye. Krishna says, You may be cruel, or you may be kind. O Radhika, whatever you do, you are always my life and soul. Just as the Chikora bird depends only on the moonlight and does not take shelter of anything else, in the same way, I take shelter only of you. Radha replies, In truth, you are able to bewilder even the greatest of magicians. And then she cries out loud. Lalita says, Many times you warn me, saying, Do not allow your heart to fall in love with Nanda's son Krishna, for those who love him shed a stream of tears that never stops. My dear fickle girl, all of a sudden you are knitting your eyebrows. You seem to give no importance to my words. I ask you, will you now not cry forever? Note, Lalita says that Radharani has fallen in love with Krishna, and therefore, as she herself has said, she is now eligible to cry forever. With his lotus hand, Krishna wipes away Radharani's tears. Radharani says, Why is it that you are not ashamed to act in this crooked way to an innocent, helpless, bewildered young girl? Krishna says, I do yearn to enjoy conjugal pastimes with the other gopis. Still, you are the ointment that decorates my eyes. The summer and other seasons may display their beauties to the bumblebee. Still, it is the springtime that intoxicates him with bliss. Vrinda says, Friend, Krishna speaks the truth. Krishna says, Beloved, I wish to enjoy pastimes in the forest with you as my companion. Vrinda says, Friend, I shall make the arrangements. She looks in all directions. Madhavi Creeper, I order you to smile. Jasmine Creeper, you please show some laughter. Patala Creeper, you blossom with happiness. Golden Yuti Creeper, give up your sleeping. Satapatrika Creeper, please be kind to us. Lavanga Creeper, please show us your beauty. Krishna now wishes to enjoy pastimes with Radha in the forest. Madhu Mangal says, Aha! Simply by speaking some words, this demigoddess of the forest has made all the creepers blossom. Krishna says, O friend, these fragrant flowering creepers delight my heart. Madhu Mangal says, Friend, all the flowering creepers please your heart. For me, the only nice flowers are golden yuti flowers that Gokula's queen Yashoda wore while churning butter. Lalita, smiling, says, O noble sir, you are expert at relishing transcendental mellows. Madhu Mangal angrily says, Friend, look, these red Kimsuka flowers do not please me at all. They are like the gopis who also do not please me in the slightest way. Lalita says, Vrinda, look at these gopas. They are just like Java flowers that look nice, but have no scent. Madhu Mangal angrily says, I know what you gopis do. You vigorously churn the cream pot and take all the butter from it. Note, if the word Sneham is interpreted to mean love instead of cream, and if the word rasa means nectar instead of milk, then this verse may be interpreted to mean, I know what you gopis do. Even though you vigorously churn the nectar pot of transcendental pastimes, still you have no love for Lord Krishna. Vrinda smiling says, Friend Lalita, these boys have hearts as hard as stone. Armed with sticks and ropes, they lurk in the dark, dense forest. You should be more polite to them. Note, the boys carry the sticks and ropes to help them protect and take care of the Surabhi cows in the forest. If the words mana, sila, kalpam are joined to the compound word mana, sila, akalpam, decorated with the mana, sila mineral pigment, and if the word kanturam is interpreted to mean the forest path traversed by the cows, this verse may be interpreted to mean the following. Friend Lalita, these boys are nicely decorated with the colorful mineral pigment mana sila. Carrying their sticks and ropes, they follow the Surabhi cows on the forest path to the pasture. You should be more polite to them. Krishna smiling says, Vrinda, I know. You wish to drink kurchikat yogurt. This desire bewilders your intelligence and makes you take the side of these gopis. A voice from behind the scenes says, These gopis are like troublesome, slippery, intoxicating black musk, whereas Krishna is like the gentle springtime southern breeze that pleases all living entities. Krishna glances backwards and says, Well spoken, King of Parrots, well spoken. Madhumangal says, O best of birds, O learned scholar in the 14 arts and sciences, long life to you. Lalita says, O Chandala Parrot, may the moon of your body become the guest of the Rahu planet of the beak of a ferocious hawk. Note, the Rahu planet sometimes swallows the moon. Lalita here says that the male parrot should become swallowed by a ferocious hawk. Krishna says, Friend, give this male parrot some ripe pomegranate seeds at once. Madhumangal says, O Brihaspati of Vrindavan Forest, for pomegranate seeds I give you Lalita's beautiful teeth. Note, in demigod society, Brihaspati is the leading intellectual. Again a voice from behind the scenes says, O fickle male parrot, your master Krishna does not really love Radha. His love is only for a moment, just as the rising sun is red for only a moment. Only Radha loves. Radha's love is constant, just as butter always retains its nature, in the same way Radha is eternally anointed with the oil of love for Krishna. Lalita blissfully says, O female parrot friend, blessing on you. With this reply, you have defeated this foul-mouthed male parrot. Krishna, aside to himself, says, It is Vrinda who has taught these two birds to speak so eloquently. Madhumangal angrily says, Wretch, I shall break your beak that speaks such sharp words. He maliciously throws a stick. Radharani says, Alas, the two eloquent birds have flown away. Krishna glances at Radha and says, Embraced by their blossoming creeper wives, the householder trees offer many flowers trickling with honey to their bumblebee guests. Everywhere many birds and forest animals frolic without restraint. O girl with a beautiful neck, who is not delighted by this Vrindavan forest? With the playful glances of your eyes, you mock the beauty of the eyes of the does. With your graceful limbs, you mock the beauty of the creepers. With your sweet words, you mock the cooing of the cuckoos. With your beautiful hair, you mock the peacock. How can this forest appear beautiful as long as you are present before me? Vrinda says, Look, look! In its still, pure, splendid dark waters filled with beautiful lotus flowers, the Yamuna River, the daughter of the sun god, and the honored sister of Yamaraj appears like an assembly place of great sages. Krishna says, Beloved, look, look! O restless-eyed one! As they move in the breeze, the lotus flowers in the Yamuna seem to be offering arti to your beautiful, smiling face. Vrinda walks and picks some lotus flowers, and then she says, Lotus-eyed Krishna, please take this slightly blossoming white lotus as a toy, and these two red lotuses as earrings. Krishna happily takes them and says, Vrinda, these two red lotuses will beautify Radha's ears. He does that, and then he expresses surprise. Ah, There is a bumblebee in the whorl of this white lotus. Rinda says, this bumblebee was very happy to stay among the lotus flowers. When the honey-filled lotus was given, this bee was also able to approach Lord Mukunda, or Krishna. Krishna says, beloved, look, look, this bumblebee in the whorl of the white lotus flower in my hand has now landed on the red lotus flower on your ear. Who would not be attracted to the red beauty of that flower? Radharani becomes very agitated and begins to move the creepers of her arms. Krishna openly laughs, and he says, attracted by the red lotus flower earrings, the best of the bumblebee hovers among you, followed by your restless sidelong glances like a swarm of bumblebees. Jingling your bracelets, you wave your creeper-like arms to chase him away. O Radharani, I must say that your fear of this bee brings me great delight. Radharani, with fear, moves the edge of her sari. Why will this insolent fellow not go away? Krishna says, O sweet girl, don't uselessly wave your sari. O slender girl, let the bumblebee drink the pleasant honey of the lotus flowers on your ear. Note, the word Madhumangal in the last line is of course the name of Lord Krishna's friend. If the word is interpreted in that way, the verse becomes, O sweet-eyed girl, don't uselessly wave your sari. O slender girl, let the bumblebee sting Madhumangal when he approaches the lotus flower in your ear. Madhumangal says, O friend, why do you make this bee drink me, a brahmana? He strikes the bee with a stick. Radhika praising says, O noble sir, you are very kind to me. Madhumangal says, how did that bee disappear? I don't see him anywhere. If the word Madhusano is interpreted to mean Lord Krishna, the killer of the Madhu demon, the meaning of the statement becomes, how did Krishna disappear? I don't see him anywhere. Radharani, very bewildered, says, alas, alas, where is Krishna gone? Where is Lord Krishna, who responded to the pained cries of the gopas who were frightened of the forest fire? Have I offended or avoided him? Is it because some desired gopi called him to a secluded place that lotus-eyed Krishna has so quickly abandoned me in this forest? With a gesture, Krishna wards off everyone, and he smiles. Radha says, now Krishna will not decorate my hair with Vasanti flowers. Now the garland of Champaka flowers I've strung will not kiss his chest. Now I will not be able to jokingly strike him with a cluster of Mali flowers. Appearing in the disguise of separation from Krishna, a great forest fire is now burning around me. Vrinda says to herself, the bonds of love have blinded her, and now she can no longer see. Radharani says, friend Vrinda, protect me. She's frightened. She says, disguised as a swarm of bees, a black serpent slithers on the blossoming branch of that mango tree. Disguised as red flowers, flames shoot from the branches of that Ashok tree. Disguised as new buds in that Kimsuka tree, the cruel half-moon arrows of the archer Cupid are aimed at me to cut me to pieces. She becomes overwhelmed. Note, the word Chandravali in this verse is, of course, also the name of the gopi who is Radha's chief rival. Chandravali also means a host, avali, of moons, Chandra. Krishna quickly approaches her and takes her hand and loudly proclaims, O beautiful, delicate girl, why are you distressed for no reason? Even a whole Chandravali wilts with fear at the sight of your beautiful face. O girl blinded with love, what then can half a Chandravali do to you? Note, in his reply, Krishna, of course, interprets the word Chandravali in a way different from Radha's original intention. If the word Chandravali is interpreted to mean a host of moons, Krishna's reply would then read, O beautiful, delicate girl, why are you distressed for no reason? Even a host of full moons wilts with fear at the sight of your beautiful face. O girl blinded with love, what then can a host of half moons do to you? Radharani regains composure, becomes embarrassed, and says to herself, Oh, I thought Krishna was taken away from my eyes. For that reason, I was distressed. Krishna says, beloved, look, look. Its ripe seeds rivaled by the splendor of your teeth, its flowers mocked by your lips, and its fruit defeated by your breasts, this pomegranate tree, on the pretext of swaying in the gentle breeze, now trembles in fear of you. Vrinda says, friend, look. This Karnikara bud, would be perfect for your earring. Radharani says, greedy after honey, a bumblebee stands motionless on this fresh Karnikara flower. Krishna says, he looks like the personified king of nectar seated on a golden throne. Radharani says, look, look, intoxicated by the sweet honey, many bees are amongst the very fragrant and beautiful jasmine flowers. Krishna recites the previous verse. Vrinda then says, this delicate yellow champaka bud is very beautiful. And Krishna says, this champaka bud is like Cupid's golden shakti or potency, which agitates the hearts of proud girls. Madhumangal says, oh friend, this is not Cupid's shakti. Look, here is the yellow cane Jatila has left behind. Then Jatila enters. Jatila says, oh crooked brahmanas, I have forgotten my cane in this place. Radharani, aside to herself, very frightened, says, friend, protect me, protect me. This fierce old lady looks at me as if she were the dark night in which the universe will be destroyed. Accompanied by Lalita and Vrinda, she then exits. Krishna to himself says, thirsting to drink the nectar of my company and not at all willing to leave, the doe of Radha has now been frightened away by the tigress Jatila. Madhumangal says, oh crooked dog's tail, take your cane. Jatila takes the cane and says, oh Subal, why do you repeatedly make fun of me by dressing up like a girl in this way? Krishna to himself says, fortunately she thinks Radha is Subal in disguise. And openly with a playful smile he says, I swear by all my superiors, it is Radhika who walks here. That is not Subal. Jatila says, oh fool, I can see everything. What is the use of trying to convince me? And then she exits. Krishna says, friend, come, let us go to Gokula. They both exit, and everyone exits.